Hello and welcome to Classique 15. This is the podcast home of top tips for young and emerging classical musicians. We're exploring how to break into and make a living from classical music. I'm Jack Pepper. I'm a composer and radio presenter. And the idea is that for 15 minutes, we get to have a virtual coffee with both classical stars and industry insiders. Today, we're meeting Numa Bischoff-Ullmann, who, since 2004, has been the artistic director of the Lucerne Symphony Orchestra and has helped guide the ensemble to become one of Switzerland's most celebrated orchestras. Since 2004, their budget has nearly doubled. He's overseen the expansion of the orchestra, the appointment of James Gaffigan as chief conductor from 2011 to 2021, a collaboration with world-class record labels, including Warner Classics and Sony BMG, and also the creation of a full-time music outreach position, which was relatively new for Swiss orchestras at the time. He's also overseen the appointment of the current chief conductor, Michael Sanderling, and he's the originator and artistic director of the new piano festival in Lucerne called Le Piano Symphonique. In addition to his work at the Lucerne Symphony Orchestra, Numa has also sat on the juries of many major competitions, including the International Busoni Piano Competition and the International Gilmour Award in America. But we start the chat exploring his home. When we spoke on a video call, I started by asking Numa how he'd describe the Lucerne Symphony Orchestra.
Well, first of all, we have a wonderful orchestra, I would say, because it's an orchestra that is hungry, that is willing to build, to develop, to strive for world class. And we have a wonderful time behind us of the last 20 years since we are orchestra in residence of the world famous KK Lucerne. So being in that position, you have but one choice: to be excellent. Otherwise, you are an embarrassing item. And so we had no choice but to strive for excellence. And I think we've done some pretty important achievements.
It's a very international group as well, as something that strikes me. Just take us inside the sort of what the orchestra looks like, where your players come from.
Right. So today, when we have these additions, they come from all over the world, in fact. But, you know, it's 300 people who take interest and make applications, or 250. And that's an absurd high number in a way, because, you know, so much talent out there. And the question is how you select it. What is the specific performance on the particular day somebody is showing up for a performance? So that's what is relevant to survive this very, very difficult selection procedure. Right. So what we decided to break down this number a bit into a more manageable number, we ask everybody to send in videos. Also, this is work. And if you send, you decide, OK, I want to apply, but I have to send something in that is of quality. It takes time. So you, the ones who apply, you know, they have really strong interest in the position. They start to think about it. Because if you have 250, some might even not know where is Lucerne, right? You try your luck, and you must, as a young person, you must apply many places. So this pre-selection modus is helping us, and I think those who apply, to think about it properly. And all right, Lucerne could make sense for me, because they start to think about it. What do they actually do, this orchestra? What's their strategy? Where are they? So in this new procedure, sending in a video, we know much more about the person, actually. We put on a short list and then invite to come and really make an addition for us.
And the video process, that's interesting. What does that actually look like for somebody applying? Are they introducing themselves? Are they having to talk as
that's
well?
Obviously, it should be a musical performance in the first place, because you want to know how somebody's playing. But also, and here is a very important thing, the personality behind the performer. Right? Because in the world of music, there is one absurd thing in a way. We just, and that's clear, we have to ask them to play. But who is the person? Because in an orchestra, in a symphony orchestra, in a traditional one, you potentially work together for 30 to 40 years. So you want to know what kind of personality somebody has. And a great orchestra, a world-class orchestra, in the end of the day, it is crucial what kind of personalities you have in there, how ambitious are they, how communicative are they, etc. So in a way, we force people to be communicative, not only on the instrument, but tell their story. And we might even do that actually when they do make the performance, when they're physically here. After a last round, we might ask them, so where are you coming from? What is it? Why Lucerne, etc.? And what are your plans and what are your ambitions as a musician, etc.
And from a young person's perspective, the way they can interact with the orchestra, we've touched a little bit on players. For, let's say, composers, what for, from a different angle, how are young people interacting with the ensemble more broadly?
Well, the first and the initial question is always how you present yourself and what kind of introduction do you get to be able to present yourself? Because we obviously, like all major institutions, we're getting overwhelmed daily. Yeah, everybody wants to play with us. Everybody wants to write for us and so on and so forth. So how do you find a way to overcome this mathematical obstacle of too many who want? And we have a horrible job in a way, a beautiful one, I would first emphasize. But then the difficulty is to make selection, because there's so much talent out there, so many interesting proposals, but we can't do all of it. So you have to find probably a way, this is, remains part of the secret of success in the end of the day. It's about a taste, it's about a color, to find this thin, you know, slot atmospherically, time-wise, etc., how you can make a proper presentation. One of the things I encourage students before they even have time to practically think about their career, come and attend concerts. So you understand the atmosphere of the concert hall, of backstage life, of an orchestra. You start to get to know people, make acquaintances, etc. So in other words, what I highly recommend always, whether, you know, it's student time or the beginning of a career, you have to be outspoken. You have to approach people in the most natural possible way.
What do you find is the most common misunderstanding then that young people, young artists have of an orchestra?
Well, I think the orchestra sometimes as a format is perhaps seen as something very conservative, rigid, something that you don't have space or room for individual development. And I think that's not right, because, by the way, many of our players, young players, they prefer part-time jobs. Why? Because they can have a string quartet on the side. They can pursue an individual soloistic career and have time to unfold that. And I think that's a modern way to run an orchestra. But then eventually, if we're talking quality orchestra, where the not only the performance is on a very high level, but the atmosphere of the orchestra, the players, and here is why recruitment is so crucial. They have a great time together. They trust each other. You know, you develop things. Like I now orchestra, all of a sudden I see these wonderful talents with a great cello group. So all of a sudden, the idea is on the table. Well, why shouldn't we have a cello ensemble? And I strongly encourage such things. So if one thinks the orchestra, once you're in an orchestra, that's the end of individual fantasy and career, I think that's a big mistake, because it's a wonderful platform. By the way, in an orchestra, you make encounters, and I see that young soloists, maybe not the superstars who are in their own sphere, but young soloists come in, all of a sudden I see them play individually with our players in different programs. For instance, a wonderful example with Lucien Renaud-Divary, the trumpet player, we recorded for Warner Classics production. And, you know, then the idea came up, oh, could I play one piece just with brass musicians of the orchestra soloists? And we said, sure, you can. Wonderful idea. So this, you know, you think you're an orchestra, you're going to play just in brackets, the trumpet part of a Haydn solo trumpet concerto or Hummel or whatever. No, you might even have the opportunity to do something on a chamber music level with a soloist. You know, what's important and crucial is remain open-minded and hungry. See the beauty of all these things. In many situations, unforeseeable, but you have to keep open and then it happens.
Well, you touch on how the orchestra has developed over the years. It's grown, most notably. I mean, on top of the original, 50 positions the orchestra had back in 2003, you have 20 new positions.
Even more so, by 35 in the end will be. And this is one you asked me about fundraising also at some point, or I talked about it. 35 of them are fully privately funded. So you don't find a model like that in Europe, honestly.
So you created a foundation, didn't you?
I did create a foundation and lots of stuff. I mean, it's on the philanthropic level, this organization is in a league of its own, I think. By sheer necessity, by the way, it was the answer. I said before, you have to find the solution for taking into consideration the circumstances in which an orchestra, an institution actually is living in. And then you find the answer, the appropriate one. But yes, that's very unique here.
So how easy is it to make a change in the classical world, to create, say, a foundation to ensure that you can fully fund positions, or as you did, create a full-time outreach position as well, which at the time was, you know, new in the country?
Correct.
How easy is change in the classical world? It's one thing to have the vision, to have the idea, but how easy is it to actually make that change?
Well, I think one thing is to get things off the ground, found them, and then afterwards is to successfully manage them. And in the end, the interest is also is only how successfully manages it in the long run, because nothing good founding a foundation and there is no capital sitting in it. So it takes time. In other words, it takes, you know, the willpower is the one big thing. A willpower, look at young Heifetz, this young boy standing on stage. And if you have certainly not one question you would not have is, does this man want to conquer the world? Because his willpower is so strong. You hear it in every single note he's playing. So in my position, it's absolutely the same. Do you want it to be successful? But are you, you're burning for it? Part of it is the energy, the vision, obviously, the skills and all this. And then the time. I am an investor in, this is my humble view of things, but in not in terms of money, because I'm not in the league to be an investor of that kind, but I can invest my time. I can give my dedication for a thing, for a project, for an institution over a long run, and which I did with 20 years. Now you can argue, oh, wow, my God, 20 years, that's a long run. Shouldn't there be a change? You know, you can give different answers to that. But one thing for sure, if you have the long-term plan, like an entrepreneur who is not going to sleep unless the problem is solved, that's the kind of approach of an impresario, and that's an advantage.
And does a musician need that? If there's a young musician listening to this, is that a quality, the entrepreneur, if there's a quality that's really important, the most important quality, if you like, something for a young artist to be, is it that?
I think many of those things, perhaps a little different or nuances, etc. But the thing about the willpower, I said, I think that's 100% clear. And also, you have to accept to do a lot of sacrifices. I mean, because number one, when other play soccer or go and have a nice bath in summer, I think a lot of our musicians, they practice, they rehearse and whatever. So you have to give time up front before knowing whether you are potentially going to be successful in what you do. But unless you invest your time, give this full, unlimited dedication, you don't get the answer yourself whether you have success. So that's something like in a startup. You do not know whether it's going to be successful, but unless you do everything, anything for it, it cannot be successful. And then there's some things that now you cannot explain. I just recently in South America came across a young violinist who can do everything. I mean, being so impressed musically, but then there's the personality. And in the end of the day, I think I'm more impressed even by the person, because you see a lot of greatly talented young players. It's amazing, isn't it? It's astonishing all they can do at age 15, 14, 16. Doesn't matter. But the personality. And then you have an interview and you see, or the maturity of the playing. Well, where is this coming from? I think you can't explain at the end of the day, unfortunately. So the mystery is there. I think I started with it. And I would also end with it, because we cannot rationally explain everything. Why? That's the mystery of music. Why are you touched by Scarlatti's Sonata 113? Much more than, and I'm making up, than Sonata 87. I don't know by heart how Sonata 87 is sounding or the other one, but why is the one sonata touching you so much, where mechanically both are at the same level, perhaps? So you cannot explain why one symphony is giving you much more than the other, or one sonata, and the same for the player. And that remains mysterious. The last mile of the mileage cannot be bought. It cannot be, there's no recipe for it. But there are good recipes for the long path.
Recipes for getting closer to the answer. And thank you for digging inside the mystery with us. It's really, really good to chat. Neuma Bischoff-Ullmann, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Jack. Thank you very much.
And thanks to you for joining me, Jack Pepper, and this latest episode of Classic 15. All in the series are available on the usual podcast platforms and online at classic.com. On that website, you'll also find all of Classic's latest news, opportunities, and their online concert series. And do follow at Classic Music on social media to see the very latest. Thanks for joining me, and I hope to see you soon.